the Damage Report, everybody. I'm Brett Ehrlich, in for John Iadarola. This is the last day that he's on vacation, probably for a number of years.
Thank God.
But we're very excited to have Francesca Fiorentini in the house.
Hi.
Thanks
for having me.
Very much a pleasure on our end to have you. You're fantastic. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I finished the Mueller report.
You did?
Finally. A month and change after. Listen, I was busy. I finished it. I gotta say, Twilight was better.
Was you like Twilight better than the Mueller report?
Yeah.
There's more vampires in the Mueller report, though.
Much hotter. Much sexier.
Well, then I'm very interested to know your thoughts about one of the stories we'll be covering later in the show. New audio has emerged of, you know, when you were in high school or like junior high and someone recorded your voice messages and played them for other people, it was kind of embarrassing. This is like a boring but still quite intriguing version of that. Trump's lawyer recording of him leaving a message for Flynn's lawyer, and you've read the Mueller report, so you know how it all fits in. Like, very excited
about
that.
Sure, I understand everything. Everything. Ask me anything. Oh, yeah? Page 275? Got it. I'm excited to learn. Basically, listen, the Trump-Russia stuff is just like a very elaborate babysitter's club, you know?
Okay.
Just a lot of like phone calls and, you know, rivalries. But everyone mostly gets along.
Are you coming to the meeting?
Yeah.
Jared's trying to come to the meeting. I'm not sure. He blatantly ignored my meeting call.
Phone cord in fingertip, lying down in your back.
FBI's like, why didn't you call me? Why did you leave me out?
You left me in the lurch.
So we have that. We have a whole block about pride, the two different sides of pride. Basically, we have the straight pride parade, which I'm shocked has not been covered yet. But I'm very excited to see what Francesca has to say about it. We have an interview coming up with someone who is challenging a Blue Dog Democrat in Washington State. He's a truck driver. He's 25. Fascinating story of what motivated him to run for Congress. Also, some new pollution stuff. And we're going to end the show by talking about Ivanka Trump's Instagram. So buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. And we start with the bumpy last 45 hours of Joe Biden's Hyde Amendment position. So here we go. Joe Biden is running for president. And recently, he made news by still favoring the Hyde Amendment, which is essentially the rule that prohibits federal funding for abortions. And there's a lot of implications about it. And pretty much everyone else that's running for president is against the Hyde Amendment. And Joe Biden was for it until this moment yesterday.
We now see so many Republican governors denying health care to millions of the most poorest and most vulnerable Americans by refusing even Medicaid expansion. I can't justify leaving millions of women without access to the care they need and the ability to exercise their constitutionally protected right. If I believe health care is a right as I do, I can no longer support an amendment that makes that right dependent on someone.
That was literally hours after he essentially said, I am for the Hyde Amendment.
And
what do you
in between, I read an Intercept article which goes back and looks at Joe Biden's stance around preventing like Medicaid from giving abortion access to the most vulnerable, right? These are poor women, women of color. I read his whole backstory 1975, which feels like it's 50 years ago, right, almost.
Wow.
The dude is saying, well, I don't think that that women should have full reign over their own bodies. Literally, I don't think women should have full reign over their own bodies. Then he works to undermine, put in the stipulation under Medicaid expansion that Medicaid expansion should not cover abortion access for women who are on it. And now, yesterday doubles down on it and now changes his opinion, his stance. And in between that time, I tweeted about the article that I read.
And it was you that did it.
And it was me, even with those humble 75 retweets, who changed Joe Biden's opinion on the matter. So you're welcome, America. Follow me at Franny Fio.
I think everyone should do that. Anyway, here is one GIF that I saw that I thought was quite amazing that kind of encapsulated everyone else's. Joe Biden, the radical liberals, as they are called. Joe Biden's like, yeah, I'm for the Hyde Amendment. No, I'm not. It's Turk, and I forget her name from Scrubs. His girlfriend looking and be like, no, you're not for the Hyde Amendment.
But that
really encapsulates the strange cluelessness. There's a video that the ACLU posted from a few days ago, literally a few days, maybe it was a month or so ago, where an old sweet lady goes up and says, are you gonna repeal the Hyde Amendment? And he goes, it can't stay that way. And so I think a lot of people have kind of taken for granted for so long. The Hyde Amendment, okay, we won't make religious people's tax dollars go to paying for abortions. But it's so strange to me. Like, I don't think I should be paying for bullets that kill people that I don't know.
Right.
So why is that? I think there's enough people in America who are pro-choice where if you were like, hey, if you are against abortion, we'll make sure that your tax dollar does not go toward funding abortions. We'll use the other tax dollars from the other people who do support abortion. You can do the audit if you want to make sure that your dollar has gone into the pot. So just it is absolutely a health issue, a healthcare issue, and
exactly.
It's already been litigated. All the people who are arguing about science, there was this science in Roe versus Wade. They said they factor in the science, so leave it alone.
No, I think what you just said is important. It's a healthcare issue. It is part and parcel of getting a woman's healthcare, like a full access to reproductive health, is getting an abortion. Sorry, that's the way it is. But I do think that we're making progress. The fact that you have the front runner, unfortunately, and the more moderate centrist front runner, Joe Biden, being pressured on this pretty much overnight, it shows progress. And I just a couple things. Like, I mean, I think that it's important that we double down on pro-choice, and it's important that we see that an amendment, a piece of legislation that at the time might have made sense, right? Like, okay, how can we can't sell this to our religious base. He's a Catholic. We can't sell this to the Catholic priests, although honestly, what leg do they have to stand on at this point? But we can't sell this to them, so let's enact this amendment. Well, then, however many years later, we see that the effect of that amendment is preventing women, low-income women, working women, and people of color from gaining basically control over their own bodies and the ability to say when they want to start a family and when they don't. It's discriminating against those women. So, like, let's change course, you know? And I think that's not that I agree with it going into effect, but I think that we should have the power to see what the net impact of something like this has been and change course on it.
Yeah. And there was some news that was made recently when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez sat down with Emma Vigeland, who you should see at facebook.com/rebelhq, and they discussed this. Here is one of the voices that came out kind of condemning Joe Biden for supporting the Hyde Amendment. Take a look.
I'm the most progressive candidate in the race. I have the most progressive record. It's just patently
right. And not all Democrats are progressive. And I'm sorry, but if you're going to come out and saying that you support the Hyde Amendment, which prevents us from funding clinics like Planned Parenthood, that's not progressive.
Yeah.
That's not a progressive position.
So that's one voice that came out. You should see the whole thing at facebook.com/rebelhq. There's an extended interview where AOC talks about partnering with Ted Cruz on closing the revolving door for lobbyists. But also Elizabeth Warren recently went and did a town hall on MSNBC, and she explained her position on the Hyde Amendment. Take a look at that.
And under the Hyde Amendment, under every one of these efforts to try to chip away or to push back or to get rid of Roe versus Wade, understand this. Women of means will still have access to abortions. Who won't will be poor women, will be working women, will be women who can't afford to take off 3 days from work, will be very young women, will be women who've been raped, will be women who have been molested by someone in their own family. We do not pass laws that take away that freedom from the women who are most vulnerable.
There you go.
That was the best part of that town hall. I watched the whole thing. That was amazing. Such a strong answer. I mean, especially bringing in the idea of young women and of women who've been raped, of women who aren't going to tell their parents, women who feel under threat if they speak out about what happened to them, about being pregnant. I think that's really strong. I also think we have to remember that, you know, up until recently, I believe it was Pelosi who said, yeah, you can be a pro-life Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is no. First of all, it's not even pro-life. It's anti-choice.
Right.
And I think, so I just want to say that Biden, along with Pelosi, it's like, your time is up. This is no more on the you can be so-called pro-life and be a Democrat. No, you have to be firmly pro-choice. Because if Biden is the next president of the United States, you can bet your apples.
You can say ass.
You can bet your ass that he's probably going, he's going to roll a lot of that back. I mean, pretty much anyone on this campaign trail, right? Take whatever they say, including Bernie Sanders, to if in power, they're gonna readjust two steps to the right, probably. Maybe not Sanders, but who knows?
Yeah, okay. So we have to leave it there. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna talk to someone who is mounting a challenge to a Blue Dog Democrat in Washington. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We need to talk about a relatively new show called Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time. While everyone's eyes are focused on the presidential primary season, it's primary season for everyone. Why? Because it's always election season in America. Now, there are a lot of congressional races that are going to be drawing interest. One drew our interest here. It is the story of Joshua Collins, who is running against a Blue Dog Democrat named Denny Heck in Washington's 10th district. And Joshua is here today. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
So we can't see it now, but your story is fascinating. You are a semi truck driver, and you're joining us from where today?
At a rest area on I-5 in California.
That's amazing. Okay, yeah. So you are also 25 years old, and I'm sure people yes. get focused. There's a write up in the Huffington Post about your personal story, mm-hmm. and it's fascinating about why. But tell us why you're getting involved in this race.
The reason I'm getting involved is because my representative in one of the most progressive districts in the country, it's a very safe blue district, he is a very conservative Democrat. He won't support the Medicare for All plan. He won't support the Green New Deal and a lot of policies that, you know, progressives and the majority of the country supports. He refuses to support or he actively opposes. He has already said explicitly with Medicare for All, he will never support it, which means there's no pushing him. There's no influencing him and trying to pull him to the left. He's not going to support it because he's bought by the health insurance industry.
So I've seen that. I've seen the stats on Denny Heck is that since entering Congress in 2013, he's received about $500,000 from the healthcare industry,
yes.
$118,000 from agribusiness, $104,000 from the energy and natural resource sectors that include oil and gas companies. So when you saw that, what did it make you feel?
Well, they try to keep his narrative going that they can take all that money and still represent us, but no one believes that. I mean, it's like, those days are over where people pretended that, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans who are taking money from all these corporations are, not influenced by it. Me personally, I'm being funded by small donors, nurses, teachers, truck drivers, welders, et cetera. And, you know, I actually want to go out and represent them. So when someone is, you know, funded by $1.5 million every cycle from these large corporations, it only makes sense that he would go out and represent them.
All right. So let's talk about what you stand for. There's a bunch of issues that you're, one of them is called the RUN Act. Could you explain what that is?
Yeah. So I kind of hyped this up on Twitter because I wanted people to, tune in and find out about it today. The RUN Act stands for Revitalizing Unions Now. And what it is a plan to not only, protect unions, as Bernie Sanders' plan of Democratizing Workplaces Act, it goes further than that. The biggest part of it is it provides federal funding to expand unemployment benefits to striking workers, so that if you are striking against a bad employer, you can still get by without having to, get behind on all your bills. The second thing, it subsidizes union dues by 100% for all active and retired union members by sending them either a check in the mail or with direct deposit. And it goes directly to the workers. And the third thing is to provide, federally funded training and administrative resources for new unionization efforts. If a union can't help with that, then the federal government will absolutely help with that. And the reason I'm going for something like this is because I don't think we need to just protect unions. I don't think there's any, going back by just removing some of the, right to work laws, which I fully support. We need to ban right to work in every capacity. But we need to actually go the opposite way and catch up with countries like Sweden, Denmark, and a lot of these, progressive countries that we all look to as like the happiest countries with great healthcare and great working conditions. Well, they didn't get that way, by just having elected officials who, propose legislation. They also got that way by just having very strong and robust policies to protect unions. And that is why I'm proposing something like this.
So that's absolutely fantastic. What, in your experience, what has happened to unions recently that has motivated you to take this stance and to put it so far front and center in your campaign?
A number of things. One of the biggest things that's in the news right now is Walmart. Walmart, in particular, basically started the wave of union busting in this country by being one of the biggest employers and just constantly hitting their new employees and current employees with anti-union propaganda. They have, reduced respect for how important unions are in this country. And I think it's so important that, we, as we're talking about Walmart and we're talking about unionizing Walmart, we also unroll plans to expand unions to the rest of the country, to the other large businesses, especially who can afford to pay higher wages. And I don't want anyone who is, has bought into this idea that, you shouldn't have to pay into a union, even if you're benefiting from that. We can completely bypass that entire sentiment that, basically keeps, lets Republicans get away with right to work by just federally funding all union dues. And that would send a clear message to the American people that in America, we support workers.
Wow. Hi, Joshua, I'm Francesca. I love that. Like, I'm fascinated by the RUN Act because you're going on the offense, really, and you don't see that a lot when it comes to unions. What about yourself? As a truck driver, are you part of a union?
No, myself, I've actually never had a union trucking job. Trucking, despite being one of the biggest blue collar industries in the country, there are nearly 4 million truck drivers. It's a very low unionization rate. I think if I remember correctly, it's like under 10%. And most of those are local jobs rather than over the road jobs, which over the road jobs is where the worst and most egregious abuses happen. Personally, I'm actually an owner operator. So I drive my own truck with my wife, who's also a truck driver. She's sleeping in the back. I do think if trucking were unionized, we wouldn't have the concern about automation coming in and just destroying jobs and leaving all, a third of the industry, of the workers in the industry, just out to dry with no retirement benefits, no plan for what they're going to do after AI takes their job.
Well, Joshua Collins, running for Congress in Washington's 10th district, where can people find you and support your campaign?
They can find me at joshua2020.com. And if you guys like the Run Act, tweet hashtag Run Act. We're trying to get it trending. So I've have a bunch of other candidates for Congress and you know, sitting politicians that are tweeting about it. So we're trying to get the word out about this. And just an idea of about, you know, some more things that I support. I don't just support Medicare for all. I also support completely erasing all medical debt in this country. You know, I don't just support, you know, student, you know, free college and trade school. I support erasing every penny of student debt in this country. So that is the approach I'm taking with my policies, is not just the like trying to defend or get the bare minimum. We're going to move the Overton window. We're going to fight to actually, you know, catch up with the rest of the world and improve the conditions for workers and the just everyone in this country, instead of just taking, you know, the smallest step that we can. We're not going to beg for scraps. We're going to demand, you know, what our people deserve.
Awesome. Joshua Collins, thank you so much for joining us on the Damage Report.
Thanks.
All right, don't go away, everybody. When we come back, we're going to delve into what's happening during Pride Month. Don't go away.
It is open season on straight white men in this country, and y'all aren't allowed to celebrate your straightness.
I know, isn't it the worst? That's Tommy Lahren, who is the actual worst, talking about something that is absolutely fascinating to many of us, which is, even though this is Pride Month and there are Pride parades, there is going to be a straight Pride parade orchestrated by people in Boston, Massachusetts. The Daily Wire, sorry guys, writes, "The proposed parade presents itself as an alternative to the annual gay pride parade, describing itself as an opportunity to celebrate heterosexuality. The group behind the event, Super Happy Fun America," which Tommy was defending, "hopes to conduct the parade on the last Saturday of August and to use the same path as the pro-LGBT event."
Okay, Super Happy Fun America is what like the North Korean straight pride parade is called. Like you, that is like some like Kim Jong-un, you know, that's like some, I mean, I don't know. This is some 1984.
Yes.
Type level policing of sexuality. Also, I've never wanted to be gay so hard in my like, pride is already hard as a heterosexual person. And I don't mean that because I feel underrepresented. I feel like I'm not cool, and I wish that I were as fabulous as all of these, you know, floats and people marching and dancing. And I, of course, as a straight person, everyone can join. Everyone knows it's just a chance to show your booty. And everyone needs that. It's Halloween and Pride. Yeah. However, now it's even worse because you got like ding dongs, like ding dong. She's a real ding dong. No,
is that
you
your
got
official
Tommy
position?
Lahren saying that it's open season for on straight people. Can I just say, Tommy Lahren once again proves that she is a plantation wife. That is all she is, straight up. Everything out of her mouth as a white woman protecting the plantation owner, her white husband, against the savages, i.e. slaves, that she owns also. Every single thing, go back. I've seen 12 Years a Slave, all right? That literally, she just taking her lines from that lady.
Yep, that's absolutely right. We actually have the full statement that she made, because believe it or not, folks were like, come on. Here's an example actually of someone. Chris Evans says, "Wow, cool initiative, fellas. Just a thought, instead of straight pride parade, how about this? The desperately trying to bury our own gay thoughts by being homophobic because no one taught us how to access our emotions as children parade. What do you think, too on the nose?" And as a result to that kind of pushback, which was so well received widely on the internet, here's the full statement that Tommy made.
"The group calls themselves Super Happy Fun America, and their mission is simple. Straight people will embrace our diverse history, culture, and identity in order to promote engagement with the community." Now, you wouldn't think that would be a problem, right? Wrong. Don't forget, it is open season on straight white men in this country, and y'all aren't allowed to celebrate your straightness. It's 2019. Don't you know that's been off limits for at least the last 10 years?
My husband is a good man, and sure, he has slaves, but he takes care of them, and I will thank you not to criticize him. Yes, he hits me, but I deserved it. I am protecting the straight white male. Oh my God, Tommy, girl, don't, whenever all of this goes away for you and you've realized that we're living in the Handmaid's Tale and you don't have any rights to your reproductive freedoms, don't come back to our side because we will not welcome you, all right? When you realize that, I mean, you won't because ding dong, but like, you know, at some point, I have to say, again, and on all seriousness, the same thing with white pride. Straight pride follows these same rules. Of course, there's nothing wrong with being proudly heterosexual.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with being proudly Irish, Scottish, English, white. Yeah, kind of something problematic. Straight pride, pretty problematic because you're basically saying, I'm not that.
It's not pride what you're doing in the streets during your straight pride parade, because you could have that, I mean you shouldn't, but you could have it any other day. You're following the gay pride parade. They're Marnie. They're being Marnie from, I just rewatched Girls. Marnie takes other people's big days and then makes her own stupid self-serving announcement afterward. Let me put it in terms that you can understand.
Or you who's just watching Girls for the first time.
This isn't about me, but this is that. So I do think that they can do it literally any other time, and this is pretty petty.
No, have you been to a club? Have you walked out? Go outside. Go outside, Tommy.
Right, is it
open? It's straight pride all the time.
Is it open season on straight white people? Like, no, I don't think it is. And think about how fun pride parades are, given how difficult it is to like, and I'm speaking for people I'm not, but like how difficult and how easily observable it is, all the anti-gay sentiment and legislation and policy, specifically anti-LGBT policies within like the that Trump has enacted in the military. Like those are tangibly adverse policies to LGBTQ people, yet Pride still manages to be this very fun, lively event. You guys don't have any of that.
No, straight Pride parade is going to be people imitating the missionary position. It'll just be a giant ice sculpture of missionary. Just parading down and slowly melting through the middle of the street.
Yeah, but one really petty, super petty thing about Tommy's show is like we at TYT do not have like all the fancy backing of Fox. However, we can put our teleprompters when we do use them in front of the camera as opposed to below the camera.
They're always below.
Like Tommy looks like she's like staring at my chest when she does her video. She's like, and I just want to make it very clear to you that I am absolutely using a teleprompter and it's not very easy for you to get around that fact. Look at it, look at her right now. Her eyes are below. So straight white people, this is easy. She's reading the screen, but then when it comes back to it, she looks just below the eye line and it creeps you the hell out.
Piero does the exact same thing. It's almost more obvious that they don't write their own material. Although I think Tommy, that's her claim to fame, is like she all that bigotry, that's just in here. That's just off the dome. Off the dome piece. Are you gonna talk about how the pride, like the super happy fun, whatever organizers were threatening to actually sue the city?
They did. They actually put forward a lawsuit. They say we filed a discrimination complaint and it appears the city of Boston understands they would lose in litigation. The city is now working with us on the parade. This is our chance to have a patriotic parade in Boston as we celebrate straight pride. That's not what it's for. It's for you to be such a jerk to people that are just trying to have a good time for their community.
And I think that's a case in point of discrimination laws, anti-discrimination laws need to specify this is supposed to work to support people who have been historically marginalized, historically brutalized, historically disenfranchised. It's not for people who've had it good. It's not for the oppressor. This is not a pro-oppressor anti-discrimination law.
The way that the mayor responds, he's like, I guess you guys can have your parade. I'm not going. You seem like jerks. I think the best policy is to let them have it.
I'm gonna go where like I can wear a bunch of Lay's and hot pants.
Yeah. I just think the best policy is to let them have it so we can have video of how terrible it is.
Oh, we should absolutely let them have it.
Anyways, when we come back, we're going to switch gears and there is new audio. And we're going to get Francesca, who has read the Mueller report's opinion about this whole Flynn audio. We'll be back. All right, so Donald Trump, he is the center of the Mueller report, individual one. And there is new audio that emerged that was released by a federal judge named Judge Emmett Sullivan on Thursday that revealed something that was referenced in the Mueller report, but now we actually get to hear it. And it is Donald Trump's lawyer reaching out to Michael Flynn's lawyer. And this is one of those concrete details in the persuasive paragraph that Donald Trump's team tried to obstruct justice. Previously, we had seen a copy of this that was written down. But there's something about hearing one lawyer reach out and try really hard not to say, hey, can you not cooperate with the feds and thereby obstruct justice? That is super fascinating. Here's the first little bit of it.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if he'd gone on to make a deal and work with the government. I understand that you can't join a joint defense. That's one thing. If, on the other hand, there's information that implicates the president, then we've got a national security issue, or maybe a national security issue, I don't know.
So that little bit where he's like, hey, I heard you might be collabing with the feds. What have you told them? And not because we don't want you to do that, because that's illegal if we say it. But if just we might have, what can I say, a national security issue. Hearing it, because you've read the Mueller report.
Yeah.
Hearing it, what'd you think?
Well, first of all, I couldn't really understand what the hell he was saying. But it was something like, I know that by what was written down, because I think he was clearly having dinner or something while he was.
Right.
It was a little bit of. Well,
he's been cultivating those droopy jowls for so long that they are now in his mouth.
Right. First of all, absolutely the president asked Dowd to do this, right? There's no way that Dowd would have acted on his own in order to reach out to Flynn's lawyer. And that he said basically, this was in response to Flynn's lawyer saying we can no longer share information with the president about this investigation. Which means that Flynn was sharing information about the investigation with the president while it was going on, right? And then they were like, all right, we did a bad thing. We can't do this. We have to cooperate now. And now you have Dowd saying, well, I don't know what could happen. And there's some more there where he says basically that you know how the president feels about you.
Yeah.
You know how the president essentially. This is all going down, and when you read the Mueller report, especially the third act, which is this obstruction act, it's all the stuff we've known because of the things we've seen play out in the media. It's the things he's said out loud. It's interviews that have happened. But when you see it all down, you're like, oh, this is just a mafia playbook. This is
right.
Exactly how it all goes.
So we have that clip of the lawyer Dowd saying, you know how the president feels about you. So you hear it. It's like, you know, the president has felt a certain way about Michael Flynn, but you don't hear it. Now we get to hear it. Take a listen.
You know, we need some kind of heads up just for the sake of protecting all interests if we can. Without you having to give up any confidential information. So, and if it's the former, then, you know, remember what we've always said about the president and his feeling toward Flynn. You know, that still remains, but.
How he has felt about Flynn and continues to feel. Why is it so slow?
Do you think that Flynn's lawyer is still listening to the voicemail at this point?
He's like, all right, when is he gonna finish so I can send it to the feds?
As he's just sort of like eating watermelon seeds off of his chest. I don't know what he's doing. He's just like looking.
I hope he doesn't charge by the hour.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Maybe that's why.
Like, how long is this voicemail?
I got like 50, 40 minutes. I already billed 29 hours today. I got to fill it out somehow.
I mean, again, from the Mueller report, there are so many requests from the president to people like Cohen, to people like his lawyer, Don McGahn, to Carter, not Carter Page, one of the other stooges, all his stooges, basically.
Stramopoulos?
No, Papadopoulos, no, he was more of a side character.
Copy.
But this is in the obstruction part, where Trump is like, hey, I'm gonna fire Comey. Don't fire Comey. Okay, he fires Comey. Hey, I'm gonna fire. Oh no, the special prosecutor was appointed. My presidency is over, which is what he said. Mm-hmm. This is terrible for me. Then he wants to fire Robert Mueller. Don't fire Robert Mueller. Don McGahn threatens essentially to resign if he does. So along the way, you see that all of his lackeys are essentially trying to block him from obstructing justice, mm-hmm. but then he'll go around them or continue to try. And as they've been interviewed by the special prosecution, and they've given that account that essentially they were asked to do this thing and they didn't, or they tried to stall it, or they tried to pass it along to somebody else. And you see that, Dowd is doing the same thing at the behest, clearly, of the president, trying to lean on Michael Flynn's lawyer. Mm-hmm. This isn't the juiciest conversation. We know that the best audio that's still out there mm-hmm. is between Michael Flynn and Sergei Kislyak, the ambassador, Russian ambassador. And we know that that conversation was about sanctions. And we know specifically after Obama kicked out however many Russian nationals it was, mm-hmm. After we found out that they were meddling in our election. And then the Trump administration via Flynn reached out and said, hey, calm down, don't react. Russia shouldn't retaliate. And Kislyak was like, all right, you got it.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna be in power soon. And that's out there. So that's the juiciest one. And mind you, this judge is fierce. AF. This judge is pretty fierce. I mean, Flynn started acting out, meaning I think he started giving a few press interviews, or his lawyers did on his behalf, a la Roger Stone and his, just really horrible memes and like idiocy when it comes to trying to hyper-politicize the investigation. And the judge was like, I'm watching this. Like, I see what you're doing, and you don't have, as far as I'm concerned, this might be borderline treason. Do you want me to sentence you now? And and his lawyers were like, yeah, sentence, or
right.
they basically delayed the sentence, is what I'm saying, because mm-hmm. the judge was too upset. Y'all read
right,
the
we
thing.
Can see that. So not everybody has read the thing. You have
doing a great job.
I've read parts. I did much of the like. Oh, that chapter sounds interesting, and opened it, and lo and behold, it was quite interesting. But knowing that, what is your proposal between Nancy Pelosi saying, I want to see him in jail, not impeached, versus the, 50 odd folks who have said, in government, let's impeach the guy right now?
I mean, I'm still getting over how annoyed I am at Robert Mueller, actually, for saying that this body can't indict, that the actual special prosecution cannot suggest indictment. But then he goes on to say, even if we could, we don't think a sitting president should be indicted because he still has to govern. And that's also stated in the report. And it's like, what? Say one thing or the other. Don't say both, because clearly this president is already consumed and overwhelmed with the investigation as is, and he's not governing.
So here's what I see. I see essentially like when I hear about Barr and Mueller hanging out at Martha's Vineyard or wherever, I just see like the waspiest convention in the universe. And in the language of white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, that is, in Mueller's mind, the equivalent of saying, indict him, he did so much stuff wrong. I am saying it as clearly as I know how. Listen, I haven't even told my children I love them. This is me being explicit.
Yes.
Anyways, so that's it. We got to take a break. When we come back, we got more for you. Don't go away. We got about 5 minutes left in the show. Ivanka Trump must be followed on Instagram, because if you're in the mood for someone who is the most accessible, easy breezy, down to earth billionaire, it's her. Let's check out some photos from her Instagram because it gives me life. We'll start with the first, and I want Francesca Fiorentini's.
Oh my God.
This is the photo that really became a meme. Jordan Peele compared it to The Shining, the kids from The Shining. This is Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner staring wistfully out the window.
What are they watching?
They're looking out the windows of Buckingham Palace. So the question for you is, Jared is looking just terrifyingly directly into your soul, which he is planning to steal, it seems. And Ivanka is looking out thinking what in the distance?
She is thinking that she should have married Prince Harry instead of Meghan Markle. And they're both thinking about how there is gonna be a black woman in that palace. Yeah.
I think I tweeted something to the effect of Jared's like, can I go back to peeling grapes and holding them in my mouth for 90 seconds apiece so that I can then spit them into a separate bowl? Like, I think he has really weird things. Here's the next photo of Ivanka's Instagram. This is her receiving an award called the Internet Association's Internet Freedom Award, which sounds made up. I mean, all awards are made up. I don't know how she gets the Internet Freedom Award when her father is Mr. like bye-bye net neutrality.
I feel like Ivanka Trump is like if 4chan got together to like build a woman that they were then going to replicate over and over and over again, like she's their fembot. Like she's
I can't tell you how many photos on Ivanka's Instagram there are of her receiving awards. That seems to be her job. She goes and receives awards you've never heard of, but the Internet Association's Internet Freedom Award, that's like the Actors Association's Actors Award. You just kind of make it up. We've got more. Here's the next photo. This one's amazing. This is in Winston Churchill's bunker.
Oh my gosh.
And I consider this The Five People You Meet in Hell by Mitch Albom.
Yeah, this is I mean, I feel like I would rather be a Scientologist and be, you know, hold those two canisters.
Like to take the test from how your evil thetans are working out?
Yeah, yeah. These are the thetans that actually appear around you when you're sitting in the bunker of the Scientology Center.
Absolutely fantastic. But they just kind of went around. There's more. Here are more photos from Ivanka Trump's internet. This photo is them outside a very fancy gala. But if you look behind Tiffany, who everyone looks past Tiffany, it seems. Mm-hmm. That photo, that thing posted behind says no photographs. And my favorite detail here is how no one is touching Don Don. Like it's rule.
Don can't be touched. These are all the bosses of white privilege.
At the end of each level?
Yeah, at the end of each level. And the fact that they have a sign that says no photographs is perfect. And again, and the head boss is the Bowser. The Bowser of white privilege is Don Trump. Donald. And we gotta, you step on his head, right? Is that how you defeated Bowser? Did you just jump on his head?
Yeah,
I forget.
You have to jump over Donald Trump and shoot the back of his hairdo. That is his one vulnerable spot. Pew, pew, pew. And it flies off, like it dislodges and goes back, and slowly his hair gets more out.
But also, we're watching, like, this is just the young and the clueless, you know, like daytime. The Trumps were always meant to be a daytime soap opera.
Yeah, that was the plan. Go back to reality TV and not give us this surreality that we live in today. Francesca Fiorentini, thank you so much.
Brett, thank you.
And we'll see you later on the Young Turks main show.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.